Him. And I was driving along, and I was dwelling and thinking about one of the most recent messes I had made. And I was driving down, and I just ran back, and I said, "Oh, God, help me." And I needed God to help me because I had made another mess. And the Lord showed me what, one of the reasons why I make so many messes. And it helped me a lot. And that was 2 weeks ago this afternoon, about 3 o'clock. I went in my office there and I started writing some stuff down. And I couldn't figure out why I was doing it because I thought, man, the Lord's never going to use me to preach. And boy, He's doing it now. He gave me the rest of this message to preach tonight. Amen. And the message is that you can count on God. Amen. You can count on God. Amen. When you can't count on anybody else, you can count on God. Amen. When you can't count on your wife, you can count on God. Amen. When you can't count on your husband, you can count on God. Amen. When you can't count on your boss, you can count on God. When you can't count on your friends, you can count on God. Amen. And I'm going to prove that to you with this book. You know, this clock here says there's 341 days left in this year, and there's 341 days that you can make a choice to have God bless you, or you can make a choice to have God curse you. The Bible is a simple thing, and it's simple for us to understand, otherwise we couldn't get it. And Jeremiah chapter 17, God makes it real clear. My daughters hate math, but this is a simple math equation. It kind of goes like this. Trust plus God always equals a blessing. Trust plus any form of human flesh always equals a cursing. Trust plus God equals a blessing. Trust plus you equals a cursing. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. Let me set the stage for this little bit. The children of Israel, a lot like you and me, they had done messed up again. They had strayed from God. They had messed up. They had messed up. They turned to other idols. Matter of fact, in chapter 16, verse 12, it says they were worse than their mamas. It said they were worse than their daddies because they had not only served other gods, they had done and went after the evil imaginations of their own heart. They'd gone their own way. Anybody in here ever done that before? I do that all the time. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 17, verse 5 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Cursed be the man that maketh trust his arm, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Amen. I'm going to tell you this. The word arm can mean three different things. One, to furnish yourself with something for strength or protection. Two, to fortify you morally. Or three, as a weapon, as a means of offense or defense. The Bible says if you trust in any man for your arm or any of these things, then you're cursed. That's what it says. Trust plus your boss equals a cursing. You cannot trust on your boss to provide all your needs. You cannot trust your boss to care about you. Your boss, to you, you are nothing but a unit of production to your boss. Your husband loves you, your wife loves you, but you cannot trust on them to fortify you morally. You cannot trust in them for strength or protection. You cannot trust in them to be a weapon to you for offense or defense. And that's been my biggest problem. It's easy for me to say, okay, this Christian friend of mine, they let me down. I can't trust in them. It's easy to, okay, this preacher let me down. I can't trust in him. It's easy for me to, say, my boss let me down. I can't trust in him. But it's hard for me to say, I let me down. I can't trust in me. I'm the one that's my worst enemy. And the one you got to quit trusting is you. Quit trusting yourself to fortify your own self mortally. Quit trusting yourself for strength and protection. Only God can do that. Amen. A quick illustration, I'm done. Whenever I was in it, I messed around with cows all the time. And I was in Alabama this last Friday, two Friday nights ago, and we were on this farm. It was this big old barn. It was raining outside. It was about 35 degrees. We had about 250 head of cattle in this barn getting ready to put on some trucks. It was rainy, messy outside, nice and dry, lights even in this barn. And this one old 850-pound steer was just being contrary. Walking around with his head stuck up in the air, blowing snot, blowing steam. Wouldn't go where he was supposed to go. And I remember thinking, who does he think he is? Kind of like some people I see in church, who they think they are. Or how some people probably thought of me, who does he think he is? And he kept getting out and he'd run over you. He didn't run over me, thank God. And finally they got him in this one pen. And they had walls in this pen about 10 foot tall. And he was running around, he'd bounce on this side a while. Then he'd bounce on this side a while. Then he'd kick this wall. And finally, there was a crack up here, and he was trying to get out. He wanted to get out there in all that mess and rain. He didn't like it where it was nice and warm and dry and protected. So he started climbing, and he jumped. And he jumped. He wouldn't listen to anybody else, just like I won't listen to God half the time. I want to go do my way. I want to go the way I want to go. Never mind how good it is where God's got me. I want to go out here. So finally he jumped one too many times. And he stuck his leg up in this hole about 8 foot up in the air. And he just hanging there, helpless. 850 pounds of beef. Helpless. And he jerked one too many times and he came down. And his leg looked like it was broke. It was flopping there. And this once cocky 850 pound steer with his head in the air now had his head down. And I'm telling you, he was crying. He was. I'd cry too if I broke my leg. And he was flopping it like this. Just like he couldn't believe it. He just couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it was broke. And he walked around and he tried running to fall down again. He couldn't believe it was broke. But he wasn't trying to get away from that nice place anymore because he couldn't. And finally he tried one more time and he got it stuck in another crack. And then he jerked back. But during this time, everyone else had already said, they'd already pronounced him Mr. Hamburger. They said, he's going to die tonight. Yeah. A steer with a broken arm, Brother Fred, is no good. But he got it stuck again. Then he jerked it back and it came on. It was never broke. It was just out of joint. And I said, "Woo! That's what God did to me. I was running around trying to get away from Him. I was trying to go my way. I was trying to go out in the world. And God stopped me. God broke me. God about to take my family away from me. God about to take my job away from me. He stopped me. And I couldn't believe it was happening. And I got up and I still couldn't. And I tried to run. I got stuck one more time. Then He jerked it back. And He saved my wretched soul. And just like that steer, he walked all right, but he limped. I still limp from the mistakes that I've made. I've messed up a lot. But I'm here to tell you, you can trust in God and you cannot trust in me.
Tonight, so I'm just going to take a little verse and just tell you what the Lord's done for me. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 4, and verse 13. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I want to talk to you now a little bit about Jesus Christ and how He's the only thing you need. You know, Jesus Christ, He's everything, man. The Bible, the sign says back here, Jesus is the answer to all your problems. And I can tell you right now that He's proved that to me in my life four times in one. You know, the story goes here. There's this woman by the well, and she was lost, and she was without God, and she was without hope. She had nothing. She had no peace inside. She had no satisfaction. She'd searched through the world. She'd tried her friends. She'd tried many different things to try to have that peace and that life inside her, but she could not find it. And one day she went to that well, that old world that the world had, and she walked down there to get a drink from that old world. She reached that well down to get another unsatisfying drink of the world. And then one day, Jesus Christ was passing by, and He stopped by that well, and He said, why are you drinking of the water of this world? Why are you reaching for that world? He said, I've got water where you never thirst again. And man, she said, you got water I can never thirst again? She said, I've got something that if you drink of this water, you'll never desire another drop of that old world. She said, Lord, give it to me. And He gave her that life that day. I thank God that one day I was going to that old well. I was going down there. And I was down and just trying to get in that water of the world. Reaching out in that sin. Reaching for some satisfaction, some kind of sin. For some kind of lust. For some kind of worldly possession. For some kind of worldly treasure. And I couldn't find peace inside. And I had no hope inside. And I couldn't find nothing in this world. I searched everything. I searched, you know, things, that kind of stuff. And I tell you, I couldn't find nothing. And then Jesus passed by that well. And He said, Brandon, hey, I got a little something for you here. I got a little drink that you take take a drink of this, you'll never thirst again. And oh, I tell you what, I drank of that well the Lord Jesus Christ gave to me. And He put a well, a spring of everlasting life inside my soul tonight. I thank God tonight that He saved my soul that well. I thank God that Jesus passed by my way. I thank God He gave me peace inside. You know, I got to thinking about, you know, they have those talk shows, you know, that has all them kids and how rebellious they are and everything, you know. And the other day at work, I was a new guy on the job, so they sent me to get everyone's breakfast, you know. So I went down there, and they had this TV in this little store, and it was some kind of talk show, and they were talking about, you know, all these kids are thieves, and they're rebellious, you know, and their parents had tried to work with them and that kind of stuff, and we couldn't figure out what was wrong. And I got to thinking, man, about our youth choir, you know, and about New Manor Baptist Church, and what God's done for me in my life. And I said, man, those kids need Jesus Christ in their lives. They need Jesus to come by and give them happiness and peace. Let me tell you tonight, if you're searching for something out in this world, if you're searching for some kind of satisfaction in worldly possessions, or in a girlfriend, or in money, in a job, in some kind of feeling, in some kind of alcohol, drugs. Let me tell you tonight, I'm a witness. You know, I may not have gotten to drugs and that kind of stuff, but I was lost without God. And Jesus Christ came in my soul, and He gave me peace in my heart. And I wouldn't trade it for nothing in this world. You know, this old clock, what does it say now? 341 days, 4 hours, and 44 seconds. You know, I was thinking the world's preparing for this millennium countdown, you know. They're all thinking, oh God, what's going to happen? We better party hard before God comes back. I'll tell you what, man, they better party hard if they think they're going to get any fun out of that. But I thank God I don't have to go out and party. I don't have to go out and get one last break. I don't have to go out and get one last satisfaction. I got Jesus Christ in my heart, and that'll last forever, for all eternity. I thank God tonight that I'm saved. I thank God tonight that He lives inside my heart. You know, I'm not worthy of nothing. God knows I don't deserve nothing from Him. And God knows that I'm filthy and undone, but I thank God that He's been good to me. And thank God that He loved me anyway. And I thank God tonight when I go to Him in prayer, I can say, God, I ain't worthy of nothing, and God, I ain't worthy of anything. But because of You, and because of Your blood, and because of Your worthiness, and because You're my Savior, because You're my Lord, I can go to You in prayer and call Him my Savior tonight. Just trust in the Lord. Amen.
He said, well, I was going to preach on prayer tonight and get us started on praying hard for the youth rally, but I hope you'll do that anyway, especially our ladies. Ladies, I'm calling on y'all. I don't get up and make a big thing out of it or mention you all the time, but I trust and hope and depend on the ladies of our church to really pray. The men do a lot of the leg work and bringing chairs and things like that, and I know some of our ladies were here the other night at prayer meeting, let's pray that this year's youth rally will be the greatest move of God on young people.
You say, Brother Danny, we're in the last days. We sure are. I believe that. But there is nothing in the Bible that says God cannot do what He's always done and more. I don't know, we're not going to have no worldwide revival, but there's nothing that says God can't do it right out here in this parking lot. He said, I'll come in. And open, if you open the door, He'll come in and sup with you. God said, I'll pour water on him that's thirsty. All we got to do is get thirsty for God. I got home this evening. My throat was all bothering me. It sounds better now. The Lord must have touched it. I made me some salt water. Man, I made it just strong as I could stand it. And I gargled in that stuff. And it helped. But, man, I could drink a Pepsi that high right now. We need something to make us thirsty for God. And that's what we need. You get thirsty, God will pour water. And I believe you're thirsty tonight. There's a lot of people here tonight. And I know you come because there's something in you that's thirsty. You know, a lot of people that hate our church still want to come and get a good drink once in a while and get something from the Lord because they know the Lord's here. I mean, anybody that says the Lord ain't here is just either blind or just dumb. I want you to look at this scripture here in Proverbs 30. I don't know why the Lord directed me to this scripture, but I'm going to just give it to you tonight. It'll not be long. So listen, I know we've already had some preaching, so I'm just going to point out a few things here to you. Proverbs 30, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. And of course, this is prophetic. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as a sword's, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. There's four verses, 11, 12, 13, and 14, describe a generation. Now, every verse in the Bible has three applications. There is a literal application. There is a spiritual or symbolic application. And then there's a prophetic or doctrinal application. The prophetic meaning of this scripture is what I'm going to use tonight. And it's speaking of a generation that I'm convinced describes the generation you and I are living in. Now the Lord said in the Bible, He said, when the fig tree puts forth its leaves and bud, that generation, listen carefully, that generation would not pass till everything would be fulfilled. So all we got to do is find the fig tree. The fig tree nation in the Bible is Israel. And you remember when He came to the fig tree there and found no fruit on it and cursed it. And the fruit withered up. And He said, when the fig tree puts forth its leaves and buds, that generation wouldn't pass till everything's been fulfilled. In May of 1948, the fig tree put a little bud forth. Israel, for the first time in hundreds, even millennium, over a millennium, became a nation again. Y'all listen to me? 1948. That did not happen in 1800s, 17, 16. Somebody said, how come it's so hard to live right, preacher? That's why, brother. That's why. We're in that time the Bible spoke about. There's no doubt in my mind that we're in the last generation. You can't take the Bible and prove how long a generation is. You can show it one thing one place and another thing another place. It can be anywhere from 40 to 75 to even up to 100. And so God left it open that we don't know how long prophetically a generation is. It was 50 years last year. Last year made 50. We're in 1999. Israel put forth its leaves and budded in 1948. You realize that there was no such thing as a computer. There wasn't no such thing a little over 50 years ago. The first computer was as big as the area of this choir up here. A big, huge, two-story building, and took it up. There was no such thing as the internet. There was no such thing as MTV till 1980. There wasn't any such thing. You just heard music and you watched movies. And then they put the greatest entry into the human mind is through the eye. You take in a lot more through your eyes than you do through your ears. But the devil in the last 19 years not only is hitting our young people through the ear gate, but he's putting it to them through their eye gate. And the Bible said if your eye is evil, your whole body is full of darkness. We're living in that day, people. We're living in an eat up with sin generation. Do you agree with that? Buddy, some of you people think, oh, it ain't no worse than it used to be. You just don't, some of you young people don't realize you are the first generation that's ever seen the internet. You are the first generation that's ever seen satellite TV. You are the first generation that's ever, when I was little, we had TV, but we couldn't get two channels. In Hoppy Tom Holler, 3 and 9, there's both Charlotte. We could barely get channel 13. And I remember you sitting there trying to watch the Los Angeles Lakers play on channel 13. You could barely make the people out. Now, you think it ain't nothing if you ain't got 100 channels on a television set. There's channels that tell you how to take microphones and put them apart. And take them apart and put them back together. I guess. It is on everything. Anything you can think of. The Bible said there's four things about that generation. We are 90 days from the youth rally. Tonight, I'd like to see God put a burden on our hearts tonight like we've never, ever had before. You say, Brother Danny, the devil's going to fight. You better believe it. He's already started. The devil's already started. Don't think it's strange if your kids go crazy, or your husband, or your wife, or your boss, or you lose your job, or we just get hit from every direction. The devil knows what the potential is of getting that many young people together. A preacher called me the other morning from Arkansas. He said, Preacher, they've never been here. None of them. He said, we're going to bring about 30. They want to stay at the camp, by the way. And he said, make reservations. I just made them for him. He said, Preacher, we've never made. He said, make them for me Sunday. And do you know what? They've never been here before. All that bunch in Rock Hill, South Carolina, cannot wait till the youth rally comes. God is want to speak to this last generation. There's four things that describe it. Bible said first one in verse 11 that they would be characterized by no respect for authority. You tell me, are we there or not? Hey, I'm not talking about just sinning. I'm talking about total disrespect for any kind of authority. Brother, if we ain't there, you tell me what it
is. I'm telling you what. I go into a lot of places and preach. You would not believe the way young people act right during the church service. No respect for God. No respect for preaching. No respect. Listen, if I don't even like the preacher up preaching, I'm going to sit and keep my mouth shut just because of the book he's reading out of. No respect for God, mama or daddy. We're living in a generation who dare their parents to get in their way. Kids totally rule the household. Amen? It's awful the way kids control the household nowadays. And I'm not saying we should box them and tie them up and set them in the corner and stuff like that. I think kids should be free to play and cut up and have a good time. But that missionary is here the other night. He is from Germany. And his wife, literally from Germany, sat at our house, and my wife fixed some food, and she sat at our house, and they said, the one thing that we notice different about America is that everything is geared to the kids. Everything. She said, your commercials. She said, your advertisement. She said, the stores, the mall. It's all geared toward kids. And I said, sister, the reason that is because kids run America. They sure do. They run America. You know what's the most popular restaurant in the country? You tell me. McDonald's. Is it because of their delicious, healthy, but well-balanced meal? No! It's because, what are we going to eat today? Well, I don't know. I've been thinking about trying to. The kid in the back seat said, what? I said, where are we going to eat today? McDonald's! McDonald's! Oh, McDonald's! 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 Poor old daddy better not say nothing. He'll be in the doghouse. Poor old daddy better not open his mouth. Well, honey, I was really kind of wanting to go to the steak. I'm like, no! Holy bum, man. Listen, if you'd have acted like that 50 years ago, they would have knocked your head off, kid. I tell you, I hate to go out in public and see a little kid. I've seen them throw stuff. And mama's over here, and she said, honey, you take in McDonald's. Honey, we'll go to McDonald's. She don't realize what a nut she is. Because, see, she's kind of mad at daddy anyway. Because he didn't do every little thing she said. Amen? And she takes this advantage to get him. I'll turn the baby against you, so when I leave, she'll go with me. That's preaching, ain't it? Amen? No respect for God or their parents at all. We have a Christian school, and we're miles ahead. And you say, well, you shouldn't get up there and say that. Hush. I'm telling you, brother, I should get up and say it too. I don't teach at school. I don't work at school. I don't get a dime from the school. I put money out of my pocket in the school, okay? This ain't an advertisement for me. They're 30 miles ahead of anything you can find in this part of the country. Amen? And if you got little voices telling you, well, I think I'm just going to take my... You're listening to the devil. I guarantee you're listening to the devil.
And we got kids in a Christian school. And brother, listen, these kids, I see it in a Christian school. Beats anything I ever seen. I'd hate to know what goes on in a public school. I had a guy tell me the other day. He said, you wouldn't believe it. He said, you wouldn't believe it. He said, I could tell you things that would blow your mind the way them kids come in there talking. But here's our problem. Here's our problem. Kid gets in trouble at school, one teacher. Kid gets in trouble at school, another teacher. Kid gets in trouble at school, another teacher. Kid gets in trouble at school with another teacher. Kid gets in trouble at school again. Every time there's trouble pops up, there's that kid. Trouble pops over there, there's that kid. Trouble pops up over there, there's that kid. And kid goes home and says, Mama, they're picking on me. And dumbhead mama believes it. That mama really thinks that we have teachers' meetings. And we said, all right, who do we not like? Let's get them. I know. Let's all jump on that one right there. Listen, ma'am, if your brain gone on vacation, teachers don't just say, well, I don't like them, so I'm going to get them. It's no accident your little darling is in every mess that comes up. Don't get quiet on me now. If you quit taking sides with that kid against authority, hey, where's Carrie at? Where you at, Carrie? What are you doing sitting over there? I told you he was no good. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. He's doing pretty good with it. He's doing pretty good. Todd is. I want to tell you something. Listen, ask her what happened. She had some teachers at school, and she'd come home and she'd say, Daddy, they said this, and I know it's not right. And guess what I said? I said, you shut your mouth. And she was right. She was right, and the teacher was wrong. You say, why'd you agree with it? Because I'll tell you why. Because it was just a doctrinal point. And I'd much rather her learn to keep her mouth shut and respect the teacher than I would be to just hear it. She already knew the doctrine was wrong anyway. I didn't tell her the teacher was wrong. I just said, shut your mouth. You're not going to talk about one of your teachers in this house. Amen? One of the things that characterized the last generation is no respect for God and no respect for parents. Listen, if we don't teach them to respect the police, and we don't teach them to respect the preacher, and we don't teach them to respect their school teacher, they're not going to respect God Almighty when they get big. It's hard to take for some of you, but you know it's a truth. One of the characteristics of the last days is no respect for authority. That's what the Bible says. No respect for authority. Lord have mercy. I don't know how I got off on that, but anyway, that's a sign of the last days. Down in San Antonio, Texas, every day in the courtroom, 13-year-old girl, Victoria Dalton, sits there every day, 20 feet away from the jury. At 12 years old, she smothered her 2-year-old girl and 5-month-old brother. That's a capital crime since the victim's under 6. Why? You say a 12-year-old girl killed a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old? Well, the whole story is mama left that girl keeping 5 little kids by herself to babysit. And the girl wasn't but 12, and I guess she's full of the devil and wound up killing the babies, and they're trying her on it with a jury, man, at 12 years old. You think this ain't the last generation? One boy out in California, a girl just got her test scores back, and she opened it up to see the test scores she made. He had a gun 2 seats behind her, and the gun went off, barely missed the person in front of him, went right through the girl's back and killed her. Eric Morris, 5 years old. He was dropped out of a 14th floor building in Chicago, a window, by a 10 and an 11-year-old. Killing by under 18s has gone up 125% in the last 10 years. Doubled and a fourth in 10 years. Parents, you need to know what they're doing. They need to be in every church service they can possibly be in. I don't understand people. They say they let the kids do anything in the world, go anywhere in the world, watch any movie they want to watch, go out with any boy, any girl they want to go out with, come home when they want to, and then when a kid gets pregnant, say, I don't know what's the matter. I had them in a Christian school and took them to church. That's only a third. School's a third. Church is probably more than a third. And your home's a big part. I'm telling you, they need... Listen, I wouldn't let my girls miss camp for nothing in the world. I wouldn't let them miss... If I hated everybody here, if I was mad at everybody here, I'd put my girls in that youth camp. You know why? Because I know God's there. And I know God can rub off on them. And that's the hope they've got of turning out right, is the Holy Ghost moving on them. Holy Ghost moving on them. That's only obey God. What can save our generation? The power, old time, Holy Ghost, power from God will save this generation, or it's going to hell 90 miles an hour. Buddy, I'll tell you, I saw a video. They shipped us some videos from Texas, and they said, use these in your youth group. You ought to have seen it. If that's all churches giving their young people, I believe most churches I go to are pretty fundamental, believe the Word of God and all that. You know what most young people are getting for their youth activities in most churches? They're getting rock and roll. They're getting rap songs and they're dancing. You know what they're doing? They're dancing, man. Dancing. And I'm not, you know what? Some one of them charismatics looked real hard and found that scripture. And they went crazy with it. And everybody in the room, Bible said David danced, the Bible said David danced, the Bible said David danced. One of them told me that not long ago. You said, well, is it wrong men dance? I said, yep. And they said, well, the Bible said David danced. And I said, if you dance like he danced, help yourself. Amen. You say, how'd David dance? Like this. Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! And with no woman either. His wife was up there in the room, despising him in her heart. God shut her womb up too. Let me tell you, I ain't going to preach on that tonight, but I'm going to one of these days, Brother Greg. God's gave me a message on that. You better watch. Some of these churches say, I don't believe in emotionalism. I don't believe in emotionalism. I don't believe in shout. I don't believe in praising God. And the womb shut up. Nobody saved. You better be careful. You better let somebody praise God if they want to praise God. Do you honestly think David said, glory to God, we won the victory. Can't touch it. You think David did that? You think David started the moonwalk? No. You say, Brother Danny, you don't. I do know. He didn't do that. David didn't go like that. That ain't the way. Holy Ghost don't make you do that. Amen. Let me tell you what they said. Let me tell you what they said here. Getting ahead of myself here a little bit. But you know what? The name of Amy Grant's new song, new tape, is House of Love. House of Love. One song on it is The Politics of Kissing. She gets her inspiration from Hootie and the Blowfish. Melissa Etheridge, who's a rock singer who likes to stick her tongue in other women's mouth. And Sheryl Crow, a big mouth beard guzzling Hollywood hoe. Say, why do you say it like that? So these kids will understand what I'm talking about. Amen. Hey, listen, brother. That's the last. What in the world's Amy Grant doing to get her inspiration from Hootie and the Blowfish? You think when we say, I'm going to get a youth choir a new song, what would God really use? Well, check out Hootie's new album. Sheryl Crow. All I want to do is get drunk. Yeah. We know that. Hey, man. You know what J. Frank Norris did one time? One of his kids got in trouble at school. 13-year-old. Listen to this. 13-year-old kid got in trouble at school. Smart mouth the teacher. Preacher's kid. Smart mouth the teacher. And jumped out the window at school and run. And they called the preacher and said, Preacher, your kid just run away from school. You better go get him. You know, what did he do? Did he go get the kid and say, come on down here. They must have done something to provoke you because you're really a good child. And we'll sue that old wicked teacher. You know what he done? He called the cops. He called the law, son, and told them to pick his boy up. And the law went and picked him up. And he went to jail, scared the fool out of him. And that boy come home, buddy, and got him a job and went to work and went to the military academy and graduated from the university and got his degree in law. And
worked in a church. That's a smart plan, amen? Amen. Smart plan. Lord have mercy. You know what a lady told Carrie when she was about 18? Christian lady from here in McDowell County. She said, well, my daughter's out of school now and she's in college and she has a boyfriend and I just told her to be careful and make smart choices and abstain from, you know, all right. But if she decides to, I just hope she'll be careful and use protection. What a nut. What a nut, man. What a nut. The Bible said they have no appreciation for the salvation of God, verse 12. Let's look at our singers again. You can show a picture of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and tell of it, and people just sit there and stare at you. Kids laugh. Mom and daddy runs all over the countryside on Sunday looking for an excuse not to go to church. Son, they can have little kids at ball practice 5 days a week and can't make it to church on Wednesday night or Sunday school by 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Ain't no use getting mad at me. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. I love you. I love y'all. I want us to get ready for the youth rally. Hey. Amy Grant's song says, listen to a quote from Amy Grant. She says this, I'm a singer, not a preacher. I'm not looking to convert anybody. So she's backslid. She don't want to get nobody saved. I'm not going to say too often that I like a cold beer while watching a football game. Quote Amy Grant. That might bother some of my fans. She says, I drink cold beer while I'm watching football, but I don't say it because some of my fans don't believe in it. And if I wanted the sucker's money, I just won't say nothing about it and keep selling the paper. That's what that really means. Well, Michael W. Smith said, Amy said this too, I want to play hardball in this business. I want to be at the same level as Billy Joel, the Doobie Brothers, and so on. Why would a Christian want to be on the same level as the Doobie Brothers? Really? I mean, Michael W. Smith said, you know who produced his last video? Prince. He said, I know if I'm too blatant about my Christianity and talk about Jesus, I won't succeed. But hey, I'm not an evangelist. I'm a singer. What in the world? Here's a guy making his living singing to church kids and said, I ain't going to talk about Jesus because I won't succeed. Hey man, that all depends on what you mean by success. Why are we so ashamed of the Lord? You know, there's kind of a new little fad started here in our church and I think it's great. I see a bumper sticker. I saw this evening one of our big old bumper stickers on the back of a van. I said, glory to God. Somebody said, I ain't putting one. That's a new manna thing. That ain't a new manna thing. That's a Christian thing. Yeah. Amen? Come on. I'm very flattered that you'd associate the Scripture with our church. Because all them things are verses of Scripture. What a blessing. That puts us in good company. Yeah. If you say it's a new manna thing, thank God at least people know we believe the Bible. Yeah. Amen? Come on. But you know what? There's a new little fad around here. Have you seen it? All these cars with these little signs on the back of them. You can go right down here, down the street, down here on the left. It's Signs by Design, and they'll put anything you want on there. Put them a good message on there. Amen. Several people's asked. Somebody, I was in Polkville the other night getting gas. This guy, boy and girl, was standing there. She said, where did you get that sticker? I said, I had it made because mine looks like Bible verse typed on there. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And everywhere I go, people say, where'd you get that? How come people are so wise to do evil, but when it comes to doing something for God, we ain't got much sense? I'll tell you how come some of you won't put a bumper sticker on there because you can't control your temper while you're driving. You like that guy that said he the preacher preached on losing your temper and he went to the altar, but he rededicated his life. He said, all right, Lord, I ain't never going to get mad no more. From now on, I'm going to control my temper. And boy, sure enough, on the way home, he got caught in a traffic jam. Son, he was sitting there. I'm not going to let this bother me. About that time, a guy behind him blowed on. He just felt it shoot through him, just like fire went through him, and he cut him off the pistol and went like that. He said, "No, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to lose my temper. No way, I'm not going to do it." And about 5 minutes later, beep! He turned around like that and looked at that guy, and he said, "No, I got to get a hold of myself. I just told God that I wasn't going to lose my temper no more. I'm not going to do this." And finally, that guy behind him just laid down on it. Beep! He lost it, son. He lost it. He flung that car door open. Run back there like that. Start beating on that guy's door like that. And that guy rolled his window down, and he was terrified. He said, "I'll beat you to death, buddy. Hey, you know that?" He said, "I'm sorry, sir. I just saw your bumper sticker. I said, honk if you love Jesus." Maybe that's why you don't have one. I don't know. Or you might say, "I don't want people to think I'm one of those." One of them's what? One of them people ain't ashamed of God or the Bible? Come on. Come on now. Hey, let's don't be ashamed. We're in the last generation. Let's put it out. Hey, this world ain't our friend. No way. Never has been. They never loved our church. They never have. They never will. What we ought to do is just say, "Hey, by the help of God, I'm going to stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ and let my light shine. Let them say what they want to." I know some of y'all pay a price for coming here. I know people work jump on you all the time. That's good for you. It's good for you. I hate it, but it is good for you. It'll make you appreciate what you've got. It'll make you tough. It'll help you know how the world feels about Christians. No thankfulness and a humble spirit. The third verse said, I'll hurry. Kids, you know how come tattoos are so popular? Tattoos are so popular because the devil's getting you ready to take the mark of the beast one of these days when it comes real soon. God told them back there in the Old Testament not to put no marks on their flesh. And you're ugly enough as it is. For heaven's sake, don't mess yourself up no more than you already are. You say, "Well, don't fuss at me, Brother Danny. I'm not talking one's got one. I'm talking about the ones that the devil's trying to talk into it." All I know is my girls better not ask. I'll give them a temporary one. Your nose pierced? Are you kidding? Hey, don't get mad at me, but I want to tell you how times have changed. If a boy would have come to school when I went to school with an earring, they'd have killed him. They'd have beat him. He wouldn't have lived till dinner time. There's a flag, man! Let's go on! Let him run, my head. Boy, times have changed, ain't they? And I'm not trying to be ugly. Don't you sit there and get mad at me. It's not my fault. I'm just telling you how things have changed. Now you don't know. Now you don't know. They got this thing on TV. Lord help, I don't know what it is. Something in their nose. What do you do when you're about to blow your nose and you get booger on them studs in there? You better off be a redneck than a sissy. You know you're a redneck when you clean ears out with your pickup keys. Post office keys are recommended for deep probing or garden hose. You know you're a redneck when you use a cigarette lighter to get your nose hair trimmed up. I said it because these boys, these boys need to be tough, man. They need to toughen up a little bit. They're getting too soft. Can't play ball 30 minutes without saying, "I've got to have water. I'm burning up. Oh, it's hot. Why don't we have air conditioning at the camp? You mean you don't have air conditioning?" Son, I'm telling you, boys, you better watch it. The devil's setting you up. And then it says, no regard for anyone but yourself. Oh, how lofty are their eyes. Lord, have mercy. People are more wicked than ever before. I won't take time to get into it. I was in Texas preaching not long ago. Guy told me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "not long ago," he said, "this," he said, "a man and wife separated, and is down there in the courtroom, and the judge was saying, who's going to have custody of the kids?" And usually, you know, one of them wants them, or they're both fighting a joint custody so they can get keep them having to pay or something like that. And the judge rules, and one parent, daddy said something like, well, I don't want them. I can't take care of them. Go ahead and give them to her, and I'll pay child support. And he looked at the woman and said, well, you're going to keep the kids full time. And she looked at the judge and said, do I have to? Ain't that so? If you don't think we're living in the last days, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years, 75 years ago, you couldn't fight a woman away from her own kids. Now they're taking off and leading them like flies. Listen, I mean, sin, but Lord help, man, you got to be about demon possessed. There's a woman has a natural affection for her children that just something ain't right in America when a woman that just says, I don't care. I mean, you know, I know just sin makes them leave their husband, but their kids? Kids? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. They call discord music. They call a mess art. They call chastity insanity. They call marriage an unnecessary evil. They call orgy music preferable to listen to for young people. They call the Bible relative truth that's outdated and out of touch with our generation. We are in the last generation. And I ain't even scratched the surface. Ain't even. It'd be embarrassing to tell one-tenth of what goes on in McDowell County. They say the child abuse in McDowell County now is at such a rate that it's unbelievable what's going on right here in McDowell County. Ask anybody who works in social services. It's shocking. And they're not allowed to tell all that stuff. But listen, once in a while it just kind of comes out. It gets in the paper or something. We're in the last generation. What are we going to do? Are we just going to say, I'm going to hold back and keep my sword back from blood and get by as easy as I can, or I'm going to get in here and fight? And I'm going to take a stand. Me, my kids, my family, my husband, my wife, we're going to stand for Jesus in this last generation. Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer.